Through Christ our Lord.
Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Tonight, we're going to be covering the subject would be examining the evidence that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. We're going to be detectives, and I think this is a problem that many of us have not been. And so we end up reading a book, and we're not paying attention to the book. We end up actually listening to what other people have told us what the book says when it really doesn't say what they've told us what it says. So we're going to do a little detectiving and show you how to rethink what the thoughts that maybe are not correct of what we presently have. So we must be attentive to accumulate evidence to discover truths. Taking another look at Yahweh's ministry. So Yahweh's word is a puzzle, an enigma. And so what are the three Gospels? Because it's a puzzle to be put together. And actually there's four, but we're really going to talk about three. And the Gospel of John is separate. And most people, by not examining the puzzle, have got the message wrong. One thing we've got to realize too, additional thing, is John the Immerser was sequestered in the desert or wilderness. That means he was set apart by himself until he came out. So it's very reasonable to believe that really nobody knew who John the Baptist was when he came, or John the Immerser when he came in on the scene. Christ was not sequestered. And so but it's going to look like in our minds that he was, that nobody knows who he was, but this guy was about 30 years old. And how old would that be?
30?
No, he's about 30 years old. How old would he be?
33?
No. When you say about 30...
Oh, 29.
Yeah, it'd be 29, all right? Or less, but obviously 29. So 30 is very interesting. If you go through the scriptures, and we've got Joseph, who was 30, that's when he started to rule with Pharaoh. That's Genesis 41-46. The Levites didn't begin until they were 30. That's 1 Chronicles 23-3. Saul began his ministry when he was 30, which is 1 Samuel 13:1, and David began his kingship, or Saul was his kingship, when he was 30 at 2 Samuel 5, verse 4. So 30 is a very big number, but Yahushua was about 30. And so why is that? I'm not sure. Maybe throw the adversary off. Maybe he had something to come up when Yahushua would be 30 to try to counteract his move. I don't know. But that's another illustration of Yahweh's enigmas and puzzles. Off the subject, but the Earth's rotation around the sun could have been exactly 360 days. And that would be, 12 times 30 is 360. So that'd be 12 months, 30 days each. Why not that? But in essence, we're 365 and a quarter. Why did he do that? Because nothing rhymes on that. And so on a quarter day, but Yahweh set the universe up for that particular purpose. He did that intentionally to get our attention. But that's another thing altogether. Just an example. The foundation of knowing the scriptures is these were Hebrews and not Gentiles. We are Gentiles. We were, but all of us would have been Hebrews if that would have been that culture, because all of us would have been proselytes, not born of a Hebrew family, but we would have been circumcised and accepted Yahweh as our God. With the Hebrews, the parameters that we must look at is, the things that we're going to be covering is, kind of give you the outline, is that Peter, James, and John, and Andrew knew Yahushua for years, possibly. They might have known him 5, 10, 15 years, and which we're going to look at. But in a scripture, it looks like, boom, he just came up on the scene and did that. Also, we're going to see that his ministry is not 3 years or 3.5 years. It was 6 months or less. And I did do a little search on the internet, and it's interesting. A lot of people know this as 1 year or less, and they're quoting people on the church fathers, and the church fathers will kind of go over that. the church fathers aren't, the real church fathers are the prophets, and they're all Hebrews. What they call the church fathers were all
Greeks.
They were all idolaters, Gentiles, who became Christians, who brought their idolatry into the Christian faith. Who basically all, none of them could read Hebrew. And so they're reading Septuagint, and so those aren't the church fathers. The church fathers are Peter, James, all the apostles, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets. But we're going to look at, what we only have to do, well, let's just go there, page 216, Deuteronomy 16. So this is what the big key of examining the crime scene. And it's not a crime scene, but as detectives, we've got to look for ourselves for evidence. 16 verses 16 through 17. And Melania, read 16 through 17.
Okay. Three times in a year shall each one of thy males see the face of Yahweh, thy Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, at the festival of unleavened cakes, and at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths, and none shall see the face of Yahweh empty-handed. Every man according as his hand can give, according to the blessing of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he hath bestowed upon thee.
So we see that every male was supposed to show up to Jerusalem three times a year. And that's probably John the Immerser also. He probably came to the festivals and then left as a non-entity. So we know that if Yahushua, which we've covered this before, but this is going to be another aspect of this. If Yahushua was, ministry was 3 years, and then he was in Jerusalem, how many times, Elijah?
Three times three.
Well, yes, you do. We just said three times a year, and if his ministry was 3 years. And how many?
Nine.
Nine times. And we're going to find out that's not the case. The other thing that we see is the apostles became his disciples very quickly, correct?
Looks like it.
Yeah, it looks that way. So would they have been in Jerusalem nine times also?
Mm-hmm.
Would people know who Peter, Paul, James, all those guys are?
Yeah.
Let me ask you another thing, too. Did Yahushua heal people everywhere he went?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So he would have healed people in Jerusalem. Did the apostles heal people where they went?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they also would be healing in Jerusalem for not nine different times for 3 years. So we got to keep that in mind and say, well, that makes sense. These guys would have been rock stars. You know, when you have that kind of healing, when Oral Roberts started bringing deliverance of healing, what did he become?
A rock star.
I mean, when somebody
they
starts...
They don't know who he was. So.
Yeah, but when you start seeing somebody healing, everybody who is terminal or cannot be cured starts coming. And all the believers start coming. So this is rock star status. And we know Christ had that. Now we have to think about Christ. Okay, he's 29 years old. People just got married when they're 16, 17, 18. So this guy's been in this area for 20 years after age 9. So he's been around for a long time. Now, did people know who he was?
Mm-mm.
Did he have any rock star? Yeah, and we're going to find out they did. But was he a rock star?
No.
Was David a rock star before he killed Goliath?
No.
So think of Christ. Did everybody know who David was? Yeah, he's Jesse's little brother. He's the youngest son. And, you know, we know the Jesseites, they call it, Jesse of Bethlehem.
The family.
And David's the youngest one, that's all. When David killed Goliath, he received the spirit first, the Ruach, and the Ruach gave him the power to do supernatural things. Did things change in his life? Did he become a rock star?
Yeah.
Yes, he became a rock star. Now everything gravitated to him. So we're going to see Christ became a rock star after he received the spirit. And once he received the Spirit, where did he go?
Into the wilderness.
Where?
The wilderness.
The wilderness. For how long?
40 days.
40 days. He was tempted of the adversary for 40 days. So once he got the Spirit, he took off to the wilderness for 40 days. Now we know Yahushua's home is Nazareth. You want to hand these out? This is a little map. And it's good to know that. His home was Nazareth and Capernaum. So we have to see where these places are. And if you look above the Sea of Galilee, you see Capernaum. Capernaum is a fishing town. This is where James and John and Peter and Andrew were making their occupation. We're going to see also that Peter lived in Capernaum. So Capernaum from Nazareth, look to the right. How far is Capernaum to Nazareth, Elijah?
20 miles.
20 miles. That's a day's walk. Capernaum to Bethsaida is how far, Isaiah? What?
Capernaum to
Bethsaida.
Bethsaida is 6 miles.
It's 6 miles. And Melania, how far is Capernaum to Jerusalem?
85.
85 miles. So we're going to see his walking territory. So Capernaum had, according to records, obviously it's on the northern shore of Galilee, around 1,500 people. It's the home of Yahushua, and it's the home of Peter also with his wife, and his mother, and his mother-in-law. And so we're going to go to the conclusion, not conclusion, but Capernaum has a synagogue. Does Yahushua go to the synagogue every Sabbath?
Yes.
Yes, he would. He'd be at the synagogue every Sabbath. Did he go to the festivals for 20 years? Yes. He would have gone, we know he was there when he was 12 years old. And so he's walking with the same people. He's in the same villages with the same people. Peter is originally from Bethsaida, which is only 6 miles away. But you can see his home is going to be in Capernaum, which is, these guys walk 6 miles a day. So Capernaum is also on the seashore too, but probably a better harbor is Capernaum. And they've been traveling to Jerusalem. Now we go to Capernaum, actually means Nahum's village, which is kind of interesting. So we go to Matthew chapter 4 on page 3. And I'll start reading some of this stuff.
What page?
Page 3 of the New Testament. Now we start looking at it as investigators. Now let's say Peter and Andrew and James and John are with the synagogue, and there's a guy named Yahushua. He's been coming, real nice guy. He's maybe a carpenter doing his trade. Anything special about him? No. Does he heal people?
No.
No. Is he married?
No.
No. Does he have children?
No.
No. Is he a happy guy?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of light coming from?
Yes.
He doesn't sin. So here's Yahushua.
And very average looking guy.
Yeah, just an average, and that's Isaiah. Isaiah says he's a very average looking guy. He's not bringing any attention to himself. And so we know Yahushua, like people knew David. So just keep that in mind. Now we're going to read, 12 to 25. On Matthew chapter 4. And hearing that John had been delivered up, Yahushua retired into Galilee, and forsaking Nazareth, he came and fixed his dwelling in Capernaum, which was by the lake, within the bounds of Zebulun and Naphtali, that is, might be fulfilled, which is spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the lake way across the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that were sitting in darkness, a great light beheld. And on them who were sitting in land and shade of death, light rose on them. From that time began Yahushua to be making proclamation and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens hath drawn near. One other point too, unrelated. The kingdom of heaven is only used in the book of Matthew. And that would be the reign or the rule of heaven. And who's ruling heaven?
Yahweh.
So usually every place else you'll see the kingdom of Yahweh or the reign of Yahweh as drawing near. And walking around beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a large fishing net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So it looks like he's walking by the sea, sees two guys fishing, come with me. And they go, oh, by the way, what's your name? My name is Yahushua. Okay. And they just drop everything and go, but that's not the case. But in this, if you only read this gospel, that is the case. You got to read the other three. And walking, let me see here, verse 19, and he said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, leaving the nets, followed him. And going forward from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, putting in order their nets, and he called them. And they straightway, leaving the boat, and their father followed him. And Yahushua was going around throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the glad message of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every infirmity among the people. So that's where the rock star status comes, is the curing. And forth went the report of him in all Assyria, and they brought unto him all who were hungry for the word.
No.
So where everybody's coming to? The sick, with diverse diseases, the tortures, distress, demonized, lunatic, paralyzed, and he cured them. That brings rock star status. And there followed him large multitudes from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and across the Jordan. So this is kind of a summation all across here. This is what's happening. Now if we go to Mark chapter 1, and when he moved to Capernaum, we don't know. Let's see here, 1:21 through 22. Elijah, you want to read that?
21 through 22?
Yeah.
Okay. And they journeyed unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath, entering unto the synagogue, he began teaching. And they were being struck with astonishment at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
And read 29 and 31.
Okay.
And where was he? He was in Capernaum teaching, and he's still in Capernaum, and so look at verse 29.
Okay. And straightway out of the synagogue, going forth, he went out into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John.
Wait a minute, where's Simon and Andrew's house? Is in Capernaum. That's why he left the synagogue, went into their house. So that shows you that Simon lived in Capernaum. And 30.
Now the mother-in-law of Simon was lying in a fever, and straightway they speak to him concerning her. And coming near, he raised her up, grasping her hand, and the fever left her, and she began ministering unto them.
That raised up is Igaro. He awoke her, raising her hand.
She must have been dead then?
No, but she could have been sleeping with a fever, you know, as most people are at times like that. But no matter what, it's a signal of deliverance. So, and Peter, now we go to 2:1. So Peter's house is in Capernaum. And in 2:1, so is Yahushua. He has a home. And this is really good. And entering into Capernaum, after some days, it was heard saying, he is in a house. And look at the footnote A. What do you say what the footnote A says?
At home.
At home. So this is easily read, and entering into Capernaum, after some days, he was heard saying, he is at home. Well, now think about this. The guy is 29 years old. Will he have a home?
Yeah.
He better have a home, or he's a bum.
Yeah.
So we never think of him as a home. We're thinking of him wandering when his ministry begins.
Or like Johnny Mercer. Kind of like...
Well, Johnny Mercer had a home too, but it's in the desert. And when they came out, but we have to realize, okay, he's been living someplace probably since he was 18 or 16, maybe 20 years in Capernaum, maybe Nazareth is Capernaum, but he has a home and people know who he is, the neighbors. He's at the synagogue. He's at the festivals. Now we go to Luke 4.
Okay.
Yep, Matthew, Mark, Luke. You need to look at the start learning the books of the Bible instead of the page number.
Yeah, but she knows the books of the Bible.
Well, that's good.
Trying to help people with the
okay.
Page.
Now we look at verse 16 and 17. And this title up there is Jesus in Nazareth Rejected. And he came into Nazareth where he had been brought up. Is that past tense?
Yeah.
Okay, where he had been brought up. So we know people in Nazareth knew him, and people in Capernaum know him. And entering according to his custom on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. So we know we're in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. It wasn't say and where he lives. Now we look at verse 21 and 23. And he began to be saying to them, "This day is fulfilled this scripture in your ears." And all were bearing witness to him and marveling at the words of favor which were proceeding out of his mouth. And they were saying, "Is not this?" And this is why he left Nazareth. "Is this not the son of Joseph?" And he says, "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country." So sometimes for you to get a dignity, you have to move away to people who don't know you. And you get to meet people, they don't have, "Well, I remember changing your diapers, and I remember you broke that window, and I wouldn't trust this little boy," because they've seen you all through your childhood. Well, if you come into a place as an adult, it's a whole different picture. And 23, "And he said unto them, By all means you will speak to me this similitude, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever things we have heard of coming to pass in Capernaum," right? So now he's been healing in Capernaum, and they know that, "do here also in thy own country." And we go to Mark 6. Back to Mark. So did the people in Nazareth know who he was? Yes, they did. In Mark 6, 1 through 5, Isaiah, you want to read that?
Chapter 6, 1 through 5.
That's right.
"And he went forth from thence, and came into his own city, and his disciples began to follow him. And when he was at the Sabbath, he began to be teaching in the synagogue. And the great part, and the greater part, that they heard that being struck with astonishment, saying, Whence hath this man done these things? And the wisdom which hath been given to this man? And such mighty works as thee, through his hands, are coming to pass. Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? They are finding cause of summoning in him. And Jesus was saying unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own city, and among his kinsfolk, and among his house. And he could not there do so much as a single mighty work, save in a few sick, he laid his hands and cured them."
And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he was going around the village in a circuit teaching. So we saw that they knew his whole family. And the people in Capernaum would also know, too. It was really simple. If you have brothers and sisters who are 20 miles away, do they come and visit you?
Yeah.
If you live in Capernaum? And so what you get to see, we got to remember, this guy was not sequestered. He wasn't in a desert by himself. I think we almost have a picture that he drops out of space, and all of a sudden it's ta-da, and he starts on his ministry, and people have no idea who he is. But he's been living there for 29 years. Now, and we don't have to go there, but here's another thing, too. It looks like Peter and Andrew just popped into the scene when he saw him on the boat, right? But we'll see in John 1, 35 to 42 that Andrew was a disciple of John the Immerser. Mm-hmm. And this is the case where they're automatically already following John the Immerser. And when they said, "Who's that?" he said, "Behold the Lamb of Yahweh." Mm-hmm. And they went and started following him, and that's where Andrew went and told Peter, "We have found the Messiah." So then how does that fit in with the boat scenes? You know, it looked like the boat scenes were just, they were caught off guard and they just abandoned everything. Wow. So all of a sudden it could be, it's him, Yahushua was the Messiah. He was the guy, I've known him for 20 years, the quiet guy.
How could he be?
Or 15 years or 10 years, the quiet guy. And why, with any of us, if all of a sudden if Tim opened up a ministry, all right, well, let's just go with my neighbor. You know, so somebody, here's Tom next door. So, yeah, we've been neighbors for 20 years. You know, Tom, I don't know him personally, but we know him really simple. But if he came over and shared the gospel and brought deliverance instantaneously multiple times, guess what? I'm going to go out there and become his friend and try to help him. You know, because I know Yahweh's with this guy. And even though, you just met him? No, I've known him for all the time. But he is, there's a transformation that's just taken place. He has received something and power has come out of him. We've got the mileage on that. Now we're going to go to, the concept is when we read the Gospels, realize that people knew who Yahshua. They didn't know he was the Messiah until things started happening. Now we're going to go to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is how far away from Capernaum?
85 miles.
85 miles. That's like a 3-day journey. So 20 miles a day is what people estimate people could walk. We see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Yahushua, and here, another reason to get this down is see people learning subjects called the apologetics, which is defending your beliefs, defending the scriptures. If you don't know these things, people are going to say there's contradictions all over, and here's why. I'll show you. And you're not going to have an answer to it. If you notice, they know John, the Gospel of John is all by itself. All right? And we'll get into that. But if you don't know that, you're going to be turned and tossed and everything else is what's going to happen to you. So then all of a sudden, you're going to start doubting your own beliefs because people have never sat down and told you these truths. So we know that the one visit in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Yahushua only comes to Jerusalem once, and that's during Passover. How many times was he supposed to come?
Three.
If his ministry was 3 years, how many times would he have come?
Nine.
How many times did he come in Matthew, Mark, and Luke?
Once.
His ministry is not 3 years. And everybody in Jerusalem would have been knowing him time after time after time after time after time after time after time, right? He's not known, and which we're going to see. So he spends 40 days in the wilderness from 6 months. And so how this is based on, from the festival of Booths, was the festival before Passover. And the distance between those two is 5 months and 3 weeks. So festival of Booths is Tishri 15th to plus 7 is the 22nd. And then Passover is Nisan the 14th, and it goes into the 15th through the 22nd.
And the Festival of Booths is before March.
Passover. That's right. It's the seventh month, but you have to understand that is approximately 5 months and 3 weeks. We'll say 6 months. If you went from the 15th of one to the 15th of the other, we've got 6 months. But you're supposed to be at Jerusalem until the end of the Festival of Booths, which is 7 days later after the 15th, which is the 22nd. So their best mark acknowledgement is that Yahushua could attend the Festival of Booths. He had to be there. And on the 23rd, went into the wilderness. Or got baptized by John the Immerser, and then went into, he had to get baptized, immersed by John the Immerser, and then went into the wilderness there. That's a 40 days, so 40 days out of 6 months is 4.5 months left. So his ministry was 4.5 months or less. Because there's no evidence of him being in Jerusalem. Daily at the temple. Now we're going to go into the book of Acts and illustrate this. Page 121. And this will make it very apparent. I started putting the evidence together. So if Yahushua was there 9 times, there's a guy at the gate, Beautiful. How old is he? Anybody remember him?
40, wasn't he?
He's 40 years old. How often is he laid at the gate, Beautiful?
Every day.
Okay, so why wasn't he healed to those 3 years of Yahushua being in Jerusalem? That'd be the question. You know, so the first question is, what are you doing, man? This guy's coming in healing all the lame and all the blind every time he comes. And his apostles heal the lame and the blind every time he comes. What are you doing here if you've been here for 40 years? That's the first question. So we start reading in 3, 1 through 10. Wendy, would you read?
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, 1 through 10. Now, and start paying attention. If Yahushua has been there, everybody knows who he is and the apostles. They know who the apostles are too. And they're very non-sensitive to miracles.
Yes.
Right?
Because mm-hmm. they happen all the time.
Yeah, they happen all the time. They've been happening for 3 years in the temple. Every time he comes, the apostles are healing people, raising the dead, demons are cast out. This is an everyday occurrence in the temple. Now, read it with that concept.
Now, Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them who were entering into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, was requesting to receive an alms. But Peter,
right there, was just stop. Didn't they know who Peter was?
Right.
Isn't this the apostle, the guy who's been here for the last 3 years? Hasn't Peter been healing in Jerusalem? Hasn't John been healing in Jerusalem? And so he doesn't even know who these guys are. Four.
But Peter, looking steadfastly at him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach the Nazarene, walk." And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, or egairo, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh.
I'm going to stop there for a minute. Now think of the miracle that this is when you think about it. Tim was put into a coma because of this illness for a month. Could you walk after a month? So, so show me who we're talking to. So, yeah. So he had to get his muscles back and had to have assistance. Now think of this miracle. Do you have to learn how to walk when you're a baby? Mm-hmm. Do you stand up and start running and leaping?
Mm-hmm.
No. What would happen to you? You'd fall on your head. So here's a guy who's never walked in his life. His brain has never calculated for that experience. Judgment of balance and anything else. He has no muscles ability whatsoever in his legs. And not only has he gained all the knowledge he needs to walk like everybody else and run like everybody else, he's leaping at the same time too. Now think of how miraculous that is. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, it is a gyro. So I thought of a good illustration is, and laying hold of him by the right hand, he awoke him up. He woke him up. Now think of that. So you've been hearing about miracles and all sorts of things happening. And all of a sudden, he could have been like in a dream state, just seeing a vision or anything else, that all of a sudden, he saw himself running, he saw himself leaping, he saw himself healed. And then the opportunity came, boom, there's like an awakening that happens to him, and all of a sudden, he walks right into what he's been dreaming. Now we go into 9 and 10.
And all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh, and they began to recognize him, that the same was he who for the alms used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and transport at what had happened unto him.
Okay, stop here. And that transport is, you know, ecstasis. And it's like almost like an out-of-body experience is ecstasis. And we get the drug ecstasy. It comes from ecstasis. Ecstatic. And why would the people, if this has been occurring so often, why would the people be amazed and transported, ecstatic, if this has been happening at the temple all the time?
3 years.
So, yeah, and not only by Yahushua, who is gone, it's been happening by his 12 apostles and probably disciples, too. Because remember, he did give the same power to the 70 who went out healing. Remember that in Luke. So that's a question to say, what's going on with this? That shouldn't have happened. In Acts 4, 1 through 14, now we're going to see about the rulers, their reaction. Now, they should have obviously been used to these kind of incidents, these outbursts of healings, for 3 years, right? Okay. Let's just see if that's what the scripture is saying. And as they were speaking unto the people, the high priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, and this is really interesting, it doesn't say Pharisees. Why do you think it says Sadducees? Because they're speaking of what? Now, Yahushua was what from the dead?
Awoken.
Awoken from among the dead. Do they believe in awakening from the dead?
No.
No. This is killing their theology. What is happening is actually demobilizing, destroying their teaching. And you see, but it's funny how the Sadducees are in there and the Pharisees are not. And you see, well, they're very concerned. It cut this off. Came unto them being tired out because of their teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua the what?
Resurrection.
The resurrection from among the dead. Same way with us. When you're speaking in tongues, and here is Dallas Theological Seminary or the Baptist saying you cannot speak in tongues, and we're beatum aquileata satumeatu. Stop that guy! You can't speak in tongues. Our theology says you can't speak in tongues. Wait a minute. That means we're wrong. We can't be wrong. We just got to stop you. Because you're the problem. Then we get back to our theology. The world's back right again. 3, and they thrust on them their hands and put them in custody for the mar, for it was evening already. Howbeit, many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men became about 5,000. Think of that. And it came to pass upon the morrow that they were gathered together of them, the rulers and the elders and the scribes in Jerusalem, and also Ananias the high priest.
Annas.
Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander as were the high priestly descent, and setting them in the midst, they began to inquire, in what manner of power or in what manner of name did you do this? Well, they've been doing this for 3 years. Then Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, they said, we know who Peter is, we know who John is. You know, they're the apostles guys. Let's see what happens.
3 years of
these guys have been in town. We got wanted posters all the way through Jerusalem for them. They got their face right on the wall. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders, if we this day are to be examined, let me see here, Examined for doing good to a sick man, in whom this man hath been made well, be it known unto you and unto all the people of Israel, that in the name of Yahushua Mashiach the Nazarene, whom ye crucified, and I love this, people will say, and you'll hear this in church circles, we all crucify Christ. And because of our sins, we crucify Christ. That's a lie. What's he saying?
You.
You crucified Christ. Well, that sounds very holy, but that's not what Peter's saying.
Peter, I don't know.
Whom ye crucified, whom Yahweh awoke from among the dead. And that Sadducees are, in him doth this man stand by you in your presence whole. This is a stone set at naught by you, the builders, which became the head of the corner. And there is no one else salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven which hath been set forth among men in which we must needs be saved. And looking at Peter's boldness of speech and John's, and having discovered that they were unlettered, obscured men. Wait a minute here. I thought this had been going on for 3 years. Not to these guys. This is their first introduction to these guys. They began to marvel, recognizing them also that they had been with what?
Yahushua.
So all of a sudden, these are the guys who are with Yahushua. Well, they've been doing it for 3 years. Seeing the man also standing with them, even the man who had been cured, they had nothing wherewith to contradict. So it shows you there. Now we go to 15, verse 17. Howbeit, ordering them to go forth outside the high council, they began to confer one with another, saying, what are we to do with these men? For indeed, that a notable sign hath come to pass. Wait a minute here. They've been coming to pass for 3 years. Through their means, unto all who are dwelling in Jerusalem, is manifest, and we cannot deny it. Wait a minute, I thought this had been happening in Jerusalem for 3 years. Nevertheless, lest it further spread among the people. What do you mean? It's been going on for 3 years. What do you mean it lets it be spread among the people? Let us charge them with threats to be no more speaking unto this name to any soul of man. And calling them, they gave them the sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud, nor even to be teaching upon the names of Yahushua. But Peter and John answering said to them, whether it be right in the presence of Yahweh unto you to be hearkening rather than unto Yahweh, judge. For we cannot but be speaking the things which we have seen and heard. They, however, further charging them with threats, let them go, finding nothing as to how they might chastise them on account of the people, because all were glorifying Yahweh for that which had come to pass. For more than 40 years old was the man upon whom had taken place this healing sign. And we know it was called a notable sign. So we got to realize, okay, if you just read this whole thing, this Acts follows Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It does not follow John. The Gospel
John
of John
is put there.
Yeah. So, Acts evidence does not agree with Yahushua's visit to Jerusalem multiple times. And so we've got to realize with John, and that's what people automatically say, well, it has to be 3 years because John is that way. And you have to say, no, Matthew, Mark, and Luke and Acts all agree with one another in the same situation. John is what it is. It has to be figurative. So everything, when we're looking at stuff, everything is literal unless it cannot be literal. And that means it contradicts other records or, you know, a figure of speech. And figures of speech are a great emphasis. So a figure of speech is not less than the story. It's more than the story. So when somebody calls Revelations 5, 12, and 5, what's the first part of it?
That's worthy is the lamb that has been slain.
The lamb? Are we talking about a lamb?
No.
Is that a figure of speech?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's what Yahushua stands for. We know he's not a lamb. That can't be literal. We know, but it's more. It's giving him an emphasis that he's the Passover lamb. And so it actually is better than saying, worthy is Yahushua who hath been slain. So by saying worthy is the lamb, it actually gives more meaning to the verse than if I just put the word Yahushua in. So as John, we have to look at. So for people on the tape and everything else, or anybody else, in the book of John, so it's a figure from John 2:13 to John 3:21, from John 5:1 to verse 47, from John 7:10 to chapter 10, verse 39. All those scriptures at that particular time have him in Jerusalem, which he was not in Jerusalem, so they have to be figures of speech. And that's the man born blind is a figure of speech. He was in Jerusalem at that time.
What do you mean the man born blind?
That's John chapter 9. Remember, he was in Jerusalem, and that's where the elders, and you said he's going to be excommunicated. John chapter 2 is when Yahushua went into the temple on John chapter 2 and he threw over the tables. Well, that didn't happen either. That's not literal. Because he wasn't in Jerusalem. That's when his ministry began. And he says, you know, in 3 days, I will tear down this and I will rebuild this temple. It was in Jerusalem. That can't be literal because he wasn't in Jerusalem. When he overturned the table in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is when he entered Jerusalem at the end of his ministry. Now think of Yahushua, if it was literally 3 years, coming in and overturning the table every three times a year.
Yes.
Now think of that. Going on, you know, would he be a wanted person? So we have to realize Jerusalem, see what time is, Jerusalem is where they killed the prophets. Did John the Baptist die there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Stephen.
Did Stephen die there? Mm-hmm. Yes. Did Yahushua die there?
Yes.
Yes. Did James die there?
Yes.
Yes. This is where you end your ministry, not begin your ministry. This is where they kill the prophets. And that's why he didn't come in until the end, and that's where Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we have to realize if you try to, if you don't know that, and you start teaching these other sections, then you're going to have problems. And people will try to reconcile to group all John with the other three, and you can't, and is not supposed to. And so I got a whole paper and teaching on the Gospel of John, why it's so different than all the other Gospels, and it's just overwhelming. And so we have to set John aside and look at the message, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But just remember, when you're hearing these things, these are all like parables. You know, so the man born blind was not literal because he wasn't there. But what is the message that was given to us? And when he was in Jerusalem knocking off the tables of the money changers, what was the message that was given from this record? And that's what we have to look at. Now we go to the last, and that's Acts 28. And this is telulos ministries. And so telulos means to be made perfect. We are supposed to be made perfect. This is not for, it's not for babes when it comes down to it. And you have to wait till they're ready and they've actually read the scriptures and everything else, because it's too complicated for them. But for us, it's important to know that foundation. And when we think somebody's ready to heed it, we've read it. And like I said, all the rest of you, let me ask you this. You know, I've done this before. Has anybody gone through Matthew, Mark, or Luke from city, from Yahshua, on the record of the city to city to city to city, on any of the Gospels?
I don't know what the question
is. Okay, so if you're going to get this study to say he hasn't been in Jerusalem, except in Matthew, Mark, and Luke once, then I must map his course. And I go through, and I start off in Mark 1, and where did he go? Okay, he went to Capernaum.
Oh.
And where did he go? He went to Nazareth. And where did he go? He went to Bethsaida. And you just start writing it down. I've got a whole teaching, and I've already done it for you.
Yeah.
I've laid it all out, every verse in all three Gospels. But if you have never read it and studied it, it's never going to be yours.
Yeah.
You're never going to start with authority, because you're only repeating what I have said. You haven't sat down and said, well, that's outrageous. I should have heard this before. What is this, some new doctrine? You go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke and record every city and see what I'm saying is true. Just forget John. Read those, and all those will agree. They all come in. He only comes in and he's put on a cult, and they say, Hosea. The king of Israel, right?
That's him.
The king of Israel. He gets on the colts. He enters Jerusalem. He comes in. The king of Israel. That only happens once in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they say, who is this? This is Yahushua, the Nazarene. Well, if he's been there for 3 years, everybody knows who Yahushua is. And here's another astounding thing, too, that we don't realize. As his resurrection, guess what? Was he a well-known guy? Did he have his distinguished features? I mean, would you recognize Yahushua after you saw miracles like this?
Yeah.
Would you remember that face? Did the two men on the road to Emmaus know him?
No.
No. Did Mary know him? No. And you start going, did the apostles know him when he popped in the room? No. Well, what can that be? Well, he had a different face. It had to be.
Yeah.
He was incognito. Which means you had to, by faith, say, that's Yahushua. Why? Because he says, look at my hands. And he knows everything. And he goes, hi, Peter. And so were they spooked out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they'd be spooked out. I mean, all of a sudden...
Wait a minute, I saw them...
And then you see a little glint in his mouth, and all of a sudden... You're in disguise.
You're like an Ethiopian now.
Yeah, you're walking all the way through Jerusalem, and people don't have a clue who you are, and it's the only explanation. Because everybody, you can't walk someplace and not know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Especially He's been dead for 3 days. Oh, I forgot what it looked like. So we have to say, it doesn't say that, but you have to say the evidence says he was not recognizable. Well, why was he recognizable? We recognize people by their face. Because he had to have a different face, and that took faith for you to believe it. Because when he said Miriam, and all of a sudden she knew how he addressed it, and she turned around and said, Rabboni. Mm-hmm. She knew she was contacted. Aha! It's him in disguise. Isn't that cool? So Acts 28, so Paul, and this is from his teaching, most people would throw out this teaching, and they'll throw out the other one too, and they'll throw out speaking in tongues, and they'll throw out prophesying, and I just heard Kenneth Copeland, you know, which is great, everybody in their meeting starts speaking in tongues, but no, you speak in tongues and interpret in the meeting. You prophesy in the meeting. And it actually tells you not to speak in tongues in public. But he had everybody speak
without
in tongues.
An interpretation.
Yeah, without interpretation. Now, it's nice that you're babies, but you're like, for God's sakes, that's good, because most people don't even speak in tongues, so it's good that you speak in tongues. But for goodness sakes, you got a whole group here. Interpret that baby and prophesy. Yeah. And they're still babes. They don't do that. You know, except when they feel led instead of just reading by the scriptures, which we do every week. So that's sad, and we should be that. I'm glad they did it, but we have to open our ears. So here's the message. So Paul is talking to the Hebrews from morning until night, and what happens in verse 24, Acts 28, 24, and some indeed were persuaded by the things that were spoken, whereas others disbelieved. Now do you think, are you going to be upset if somebody doesn't believe you? Now think about that. If they won't believe the Apostle Paul, who knew the scriptures like nobody else, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't believe Yahushua, who actually knew the scriptures more than anybody else, right? Why would I be insulted if they reject what I say? Mm-hmm. No. In 25, and not being agreed among themselves, they began to leave. Paul having said one thing, well did the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, speak through Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers, saying, go thy way unto the people and say, ye shall surely hear, and yet will in no wise understand, and surely see, and yet will in no wise perceive. Why they're not seeing, and why are they not hearing? Read the next verse, Melania. 27.
And the heart of his people has become dense, and with their ears heavily have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their hearts should understand in return, when I would certainly heal them.
That's it. And so this is used, that's quoting Isaiah 6:2, Yahushua quotes it in Matthew 13:15-16, and in Luke 8:10. So we got to realize there's always going to be people who close their eyes and stop their ears. Let it not be us.
Yeah.
Really comes down to. And if it doesn't fit with our perceived idea, then many times we could have the tendency to do the same thing. So let's not do
that. It doesn't fit with our perceived idea. Perhaps our perceived idea is wrong.
That's right. Well, once we show it in the scriptures, and we have to say, well, the evidence that you presented is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I have to reconsider all of this, you know. So we have to say, show me the evidence. If you say I'm wrong, or if you say this, just present the evidence. And then you can say, well, that's enough evidence for me. But I look at that. So I go with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's 3 against 1. John. You know? And so you have to say, okay, John's a whole other situation by itself. And actually, in my opinion, obviously, John should be before the book of Revelation and not after Luke.